Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. Maybe we can turn to the book of Hebrews. And the Lord bless each one this evening. Praise God. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a communion service. So it's hard to fit it in when everybody's here. We're different people working and everything. But I hope that maybe it'll suit next Sunday night. And we'll have a communion service to remember the Lord. You know, the three ordinances left to the church, water baptism, feet washing, and communion. And we might not get to do the feet washing, but we can do it. And these things are left, and it's good to practice it. And I don't believe there's any set rule. The Bible says you can do it as often as you meet if you want communion. But at least it's good to do it sometimes and remember the Lord. Let's read verse 6 and verse 7. Praise God. Hebrews 11, verse 6 and 7. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word tonight. And we know that your word is a lamp unto their feet, and a light unto their path. Father, I pray you'll bless your word to their hearts tonight, and that you'll strengthen and bless your own people in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, as a brother has already prayed, we welcome the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. And we take the Holy Spirit by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you do undertake for us. Bind every work of the devil in Jesus' precious name. Spoil his goods, bring them to naught. We cast down all reasoning. We cast down all vain imagination. Every thought that will exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth, we cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray your blessing in this house tonight. Lord, let us never become familiar with your word, for your word is the same. You are the same, and your word's the same. Bless now, we pray, those that can't be here tonight. Lord, bless them, meet their needs, and undertake for them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I think this is a wonderful scripture. He that cometh to God. He that cometh to God. First we see a coming to God. Now the Bible says Noah was warned of God of things not seen. But God warned him. God told him of things that were coming. He didn't see them, but God warned him. And he feared and he believed. The fear he had wasn't the fear of like the wrong fear. It was a godly fear. And a godly fear, the Bible says, leadeth to repentance. Now we know in Noah's case he really was a believer. But the Bible does say the fear of God leadeth to repentance. Noah had the right kind of fear. There's a good fear. I want to say that tonight. There's a wrong fear, but there's a good fear. To fear God is a good fear. And you see, that's the problem today. People don't fear God. There's no fear for God. And there's no fear for the things of God, but Noah had. Coming to God. In John 14, verse 6, it says this: Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to God, and one way only to God. There's not two ways. There's not three ways. And I know we know all this, but we're going to hear it again. And we need to continually hear it. There's only one way to God. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the one and only way to God. All of the whole shows us that. Noah's ark shows us that. One door into the ark and only one. The tabernacle, one door in, only one. All the things through all the Bible, Solomon's temple, one door, only one. And Jesus Christ is the one and only way to God. There's no other way to God. We cannot come to God any other way. We can only come to God through God's provided way. And God's provided way is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's provided way. It's through Christ. It's also God's chosen place of worship where he's put his name. There's different denominations and they all have different names. But there's only one chosen place of worship. That's in Christ. That's God's chosen place of worship where he put his name. The rest is blasphemous names. Do you know that?
Yes.
Blasphemous names. But I don't care what they are. They're blasphemous names. And you remember the angel of the Lord said to William Branham, do not call them churches.
Yes.
They're lodges. And the blasphemous names. And he told him that. And he showed him why. And then he preached a sermon. Why we are not a denomination. A lot of people can't say that today. Because they are a denomination. Do you realize when you don't have the fivefold ministry in your assembly, you become a denomination? Do you know that? People today say they don't need the fivefold ministry. And there's so many things today, doctrines that's come up now in this end time, which are on all on scripture. The Bible says that the fivefold ministry is the perfection of the saints, that we all come into the unity of Christ, the stature of the perfect man. We need the fivefold ministry till the Lord comes. We're going to need the pastor, teacher, evangelist, and prophets, and so forth till the Lord takes us. How many believe that tonight? But there's a lot of places don't believe in it. Some places only have they don't believe in a pastor. Some churches. They're not churches. I told you what they are. But they don't believe in a pastor, but yet they believe in an evangelist. But they don't believe in a pastor. There's others that believe in a pastor, but they don't believe in apostles or prophets. And so forth. But we need the fivefold ministry till the Lord comes. For the perfection of the saints. But this only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And this is the first thing we see from our text tonight. He that cometh. So God wants us to come. And he says, he that cometh. And there's only one way to come. That's through Christ. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says this. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Before I came out this evening, I was studying, reading, and I was thinking the gospel can be preached and people don't get saved. Healing can be preached and people don't get healed. And everybody will blame everything but the thing they should blame. No faith. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care if we can pull the stars out of the heaven and swing around these legs. If you don't have faith in the word, won't work. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they heard the word, but it was not mixed with faith, so it never worked. There has to be faith in what God says. When you tell somebody to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and see him, the Bible says, for by faith, for by grace through faith are you saved. You have to apply faith to the word of God. God wants you that are saved to use your faith. Use your faith, not doubt. Well, God's not going to do it. Look what's happening now. That's not faith, that's unbelief. That's doubt, skepticism, and doubt. You'll never bring a move of God about the criticizing. You'll never bring a move of God about skepticism. But you will bring it about by praying and seeking God, because the Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seeking God's the answer. Faith in the word of God is the answer. Faith in God's word. If before, where they took faith, where they sought God, where they prayed to God, and God worked, God will do it again. God has to do it again, because he's never changed. Now you cannot
this was not that age. How many remembers when Brother Brian Freeborn preached about the gleaning? And we've had ages in the past where multitudes come in and so forth, but we're coming down to the last of the last days. And people do not even want God in the knowledge. They don't even want to retain God. They don't want to hear about God. We're living in a society that wants to promote godlessness. That's the day we're living in. That wasn't the case 100 years ago. People 100 years ago had a fear that in general's lost today. How many agree with me? You'd say, but God can still move. Yes, God can still move. But we must believe. And God will still move. Wherefore is evil also to save them to uttermost have come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So while the Lord ever liveth, and he will always live, there's hope. While he ever liveth, there's hope. So there's always hope. There's no such thing as an ending. The concept of it will all come to an end's wrong. It can't, for he ever liveth. Show me when he doesn't ever live. He can't, for he will ever liveth. While we're here, there's hope. And Romans 5 said, hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given on us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Christ died for the ungodly. So before men or women seek God, they must be made conscious of their lost condition. They have to know of their lost condition. The Spirit must first work upon a person to bring realization upon them, to show them their sin, to show them that they're alienated from God and they're lost. And it's the Holy Spirit that opens the eyes. It's the Holy Spirit that pricks the conscience, not the preacher. Now we know that God uses a preacher for please God through preaching foolishness to save. We know that. We believe that. It's the exact same when you talk about evangelism. There's only one way for evangelism, and I'm going to tell you that right here tonight. Just the way it always was. That's the only way. You want to know what evangelism is like? Read the book of Acts, Philip. What did he preach? Christ. That's how simple it is. That's the problem there, you see. People think, well, there's not much to it. It doesn't have to be. There's not much to hammer. You need a nail driven, you need a hammer. Lump of cheese won't do. That won't work. You need a hammer. It's a simple tool, but it's effective. And when you want to see people saved, you have to preach Christ. Not someone else. Not ideas, or not this or that or the other. Christ. Christ alone. I did a study myself just reading through just recently, and you see all the times in Hebrews, all the different epistles, right all through that Bible there, everywhere the cross is preached. The cross in Hebrews, the cross in Philippians, the cross in Ephesians. It's all about the cross. It's all about Christ. It must be Christ. And you see Spurgeon. You know the thing I like about Spurgeon? It's the most Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon. Do you know why he's the prince of preachers? I don't care what sermon you read of Spurgeon's. You can't listen to it because it's written. It's always Christ. If he's talking about Joseph, he's tied to the Christ. If he's talking about Moses, he's tied to the Christ. William Branham was the same. He's tied it. We don't use the Old Testament to understand the New. We use the New to understand the Old. That's the way it works. But it must be Christ. In Ephesians 4 verse 18 it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's man today. Alienated from God. You know, an alien is a foreign being. You know that. You know what an alien is. You ever see the films, Aliens Come For You? He's a And the world is alienated from God. Their minds and hearts is darkened from God because of this world. And the only thing to undarken is the light of Christ, the light of the gospel. That's the only thing can do it. Nothing else will do it. Nothing else can do it. But the word of God is light and life. Light and life through the word of God. Man and women are lost and away from God without Christ. Without Christ means to be without God. Without Christ means you're helpless. Without Christ means you're homeless. Without Christ means you're hopeless. Without Christ means you're lost soul. I'm telling you, who would want to be without Christ? But the world don't want Christ. How many times will people hear the gospel and do nothing about it? Now you're going to tell me the preacher wasn't anointed enough. That's why they didn't get it. That's absolute rubbish. Don't you believe that? If you believe that, you're deceived. I'll tell you that right now. It's the devil that blinded their minds. The devil did it. It's only the Spirit of God can enlighten them. How many times have we seen in services where there was an anointing, where there was a power of God, and they still never get saved? How many times have you seen it? I've seen it. I've seen people, I've seen a man once in a meeting, and the sweat broke on his brow, and wrung down his face. There was such conviction on him, but it's like our brother Yule said, he went out and killed the conviction. Killed it away. The Bible talks about that, you know. The Bible talks about the good seed being sown. It doesn't say the bad seed sown. The good seed was sown. But somebody else sowed a seed after. Choked it up. And it's so true with healing as well. When you know that God has spoke to you in a meeting, and God has blessed you, and God has touched you, you're not a very far to go that somebody will meet you to take your blessing away. And to talk you out of it. That's the devil's work. He's never too far away. Oh, you'll be surprised who he uses. Oh, yes. He's crafty, isn't it? But God's word, you just believe it. Have faith in God's word. Believe God's word. If you've been prayed for, you believe. You confess it. You believe it. Regardless of what it looks like, or it doesn't matter if it's even somebody professed as a Basian, if they try to talk you out of it, ignore it. Cast it off. They tried to talk no out of it. Do you think they didn't? You don't think they said the no after 120 years, you old fool, you. You're preaching here for 120 years, you're building this ark, this boat, and sure there hasn't rained in all the 120 years. There's never been one drop of rain. But they never talked him out of it. He was set on a course. He was convinced and he feared God. And he kept on building. And he kept on working. And one day God said, "Noah, come on in." And Noah never closed the door. God did. And the amazing thing for me is the boat never moved for 7 days. The door was closed and it never moved for 7 days. I know we've all these smart alecks want to know where the poo went out of the animals and all the rest of it. Where did it go? You might have heard it all. How could it all fit in the boat? And where did the food come from? Where did this come from? Where did that come from? And they want to know this, they want to know that. And you see, there's the problem right there, this here. God doesn't work with us. No. Revelation. William Branham says you cannot learn God. It only comes by revelation. You will not receive nothing from God because you're going to learn it. You can't. If we can do it with that, we go out in the bond bridge this week and learn everybody to receive. You can't do it. You can't do it. You have to preach it. And it's only by revelation through the Holy Spirit that enlightens a man or a woman and then they come. Isn't that the truth? I can't explain to you how it all worked in that ark, but I believe it. I believe it. Because God said it. Luke 15 and 18 says, "I will arise and go to my father's house and will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." You see, this prodigal son here in Luke's gospel, someone happened to him and he woke up. Only the Spirit of God could do it. God brought him to the senses and he awakened. And he said, I'll go to my Father's house. God awakened him.
And it takes the Spirit of God to awaken a man or woman. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. And no man can know me save to him whom the Son will reveal him.
It's the work of Almighty God. I tell you, God can see you.
This prodigal son awakened and he came back to God. He come to the senses. He come to God's only provided way. 1 Peter 2 and 4 says this: to whom coming as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. That's Christ. Christ was chosen of God. Christ was precious, and he's the one we must come to. Even for us that saved, there's a continual coming to God. Even when you're saved. And you listen to me, and I'm preaching a good lot of years now, and you say, well, what's that? Nothing. But let me say this. You have to keep coming to God even when you're saved. And if you don't keep coming to God continually, you'll find out one day you're not where you should be. You say, but it's not for works. It's not for works, but you can't live like the devil. It won't work. You have to continually come to God.
Abraham continually came to God. God rewarded him. We'll see about that in a moment. We come to him as a teacher. Listen to this. We come to him as a teacher. We come to him as in prayer, as benefactor, and he must be sought in faith. When we come to God, we must come in faith.
Brother, pray for me. And you don't really mean it. It's a waste of time. If you come in faith, believing, believe as soon as you're praying for a coffin.
Won't tell.
Wigglesworth turned people away, you know.
Yes.
Wigglesworth told a man, get down. I'm not praying for you again. I prayed for you last night. I'm not praying for you again. One time's enough.
That's what he told him.
Wigglesworth was a man of faith. Wigglesworth wasn't playing games.
And when we are prayed for, we must believe it. We must act upon it.
We must go out and proclaim it. Act upon it. Believe it.
Believe that it will be done and it shall be done. Hebrews 6:11-6 says, but without faith. Now I know the devil will say to you, but brother, you haven't that much faith. But you can turn around and tell him in his face, you're a liar, devil. For Romans says, the book of Romans says, I have a measure of faith. That's all you need.
If you haven't enough faith to claim you the gift of faith or any of that, it still won't matter.
God's give you a measure. It's enough. Because my Bible says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, that's the smallest seed you can show me.
That's only a wee tiny bit of faith. God will still work with that.
He'll honour it. And he'll bless you. It's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, there's a man gave me this verse many years ago. I wasn't even married, I was only a young fella. I was seeking God, I needed an answer to prayer. This is the scripture he gave me. And I read this and read it and read it and read it, and God really done something for me at that time. But I sought God. We must believe he is and that he is. Listen to this. He is means to recognize him as supreme being, the maker of heaven and earth, the almighty God, to believe his word as the truth, to exercise faith upon him as such a being, as his word declares him to be, supreme, sovereign, infallible, holy, almighty, inflexible, just, yet abounding in mercy and grace toward poor sinners through Christ. He's all that. That's what he is means. He is means he's the answer to your deepest want. He is means he's the answer to your financial need. He is means he's the answer to get you the right partner. He is means he's the answer to save your loved ones. He can do it. it, but he can do it. He's answer to heal that person you're praying for. He is
the answer.
Just seek God. The Bible says if we go into the closet and pray in secret, the Lord will reward us openly. Too many times we pray prayers that are not prayers. We preach a sermon to God. We don't pray.
And with others, we often preach to God. We need to hear God preaching to us.
We need to come to God and humble ourselves before God and tell God we're wretched sinners saved by grace. Didn't Jesus teach us, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us.
I'll tell you, the Lord taught us a simple prayer. Spurgeon says you don't need long prayers. Short prayers. Proper prayers. Really praying to God.
And I'm not saying you can't pray long. There's intercessory prayers which are long. But you might say, now what I'm trying to say is this. I better explain this. So I don't want the devil to give you the wrong end of the stick.
There might be a brother here and he could pray a wonderful prayer. And I'm all behind it and I believe in that. But maybe you're sitting here and you're saying to yourself tonight, listen to me, I couldn't pray like brother so-and-so. But God will hear you just the way you can pray.
Amen.
God will hear you.
Amen.
If you could just pray a simple, short prayer, it's enough. Amen. If it's sincere to the Lord from your heart,
God will hear you. He'll reward you.
Amen.
If you seek Him, He will reward you.
Rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Psalms 9 verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I told you, they forgot God. England's forgot God. It used to be Great Britain. It's no longer now Great Britain. How many know what I'm saying? It's no longer Great Britain, for it's forgot God. You know, when Ian Paisley was living in this country, and the time of the thing came with the cattle, and the cattle was dying, foot and mouth disease. How many remembers that? Ian Paisley, he says, let's have a day of prayer, and they laughed at him.
They laughed at him. They didn't want God. But a nation that fears God, God will bless.
That's why it used to be Great Britain. Great Britain used to be great. This land here, people say our land's, there's still a great movement and still a great fear of God. Yes, that's true, but there's an awful lot creeping in now. They want to rid us of the freedom we have. Do you realize that?
Yes, true.
Wants to bring the believer into bondage.
Wants you to forget God. And all these programs, if you mention the Bible, you watch one of them. Mention the Bible. Say you're a Christian. And you'll see a lot of devils getting raised up out there.
I can tell you they're not belong to this, sir.
Oh, well, he's a Bible pastor.
Oh, where's all these rules coming from? Of course it's coming from the Bible. Where do they want them to come from? They're alienated. What they're going by is foreign. It's foreign.
It's not from the Word of God. It's no use.
Amen?
Not only did they deny God, but those that forgot God. The world today wants you and me to forget God and deny God. They've no time for God. Let me read you Romans chapter 1, verse 25 to 32. Here's our guy. Here's our guy. Listen carefully. Who changed the truth of God into the lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up on divine affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust, one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness,
Here it is in the Word of God. This is the most up to date book in the world.
Wow. This book here.
You take a look what's going on here. We've men of God not trying to make laws for our country, and they broke every law they could break. How can they make laws when they broke them all? Murderers, backbiters, men that don't want God. I tell you, it's an evil hour we're in. That's why I'm all for it. See, the people that are in authority that have a bit of fear of God. Even if they maybe don't see all that we claim to see, but if they've got a bit, it's better than what the others have. Pray for them.
Amen.
God will strengthen their backbone. Give them power and strength. Amen? How many believe that?
Yeah.
I tell you, we need to be praying for them. Verse 31, without understanding. So you see, no matter what sort of a talk you get them, it won't work. God has given them over, it says. Do you realize there's a line that man and women can cross? And they can grieve the Holy Spirit for the last time. You know, Brother Branham said the unpardonable sin was to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And the old preachers years ago was saying the unpardonable sin is to grieve the Spirit of God for the last time and never speak to you again. Do you realize tonight you can do that? I'm not saying to you here, I don't mean you here, I'm talking about people in general, can grieve the Spirit of God for the last time and never speak again. And never talk to them again. We are a blessed people that God has spoke to us and God has called us. And there's hope for the gospel of Christ. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And have pleasure in them that do them. They laugh at God. They laugh at the things of God. They laugh in your face. And God gives them over. Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't saved. God condemned them. And he burnt them. And I tell you, there's an age coming where few will be saved. I'm telling you. God burnt them. We need to be praying for our loved ones that God in mercy will give them the eye salve and open their understandings that they can get saved. Amen? But God is looking for men and women of faith who will diligently seek Him. That's what God's looking for. God is looking for men and women that's sincere, that will seek God's face. To seek God is to forsake, deny, go out of self, and take Him alone. Faith. Five words. Forsaking all, I take Him. Forsaking all, I take Him. Five words, faith. That's what God wants us to do. Forsake all and take Him. For our ruler and our satisfying portion, the Lord wants us to take Him. To seek Him diligently, to seek Him early. Let me read you some scriptures about it. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Psalms 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O Lord. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Isn't it wonderful when you close yourself away and just seek the Lord and search after God? Like our brother John often says, even at the meeting, you're trying to reach out and grip the Lord. That's something within you. You're wanting the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord likes that. I believe that. God likes that. That we want to search for Him and reach out for the Lord. For the Lord is near us. Very near us. For the Bible says He's closer than the breath we breathe. What is the reward of the diligent seeker? Sins forgiven. Favor with God. That's what happens. Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I tell you, when people turn to God, there's mercy with the Lord. You ever seen somebody all out of sorts? I have. People that used to serve God, then they get all out of sorts. You'll notice one thing about them. They haven't time to look you in the face and talk to you no more. They're too busy. There's something driving them. They've no time to talk with you. They've no time to stop. They're always in a rush. You see, when you see this world we're in today, it's a rat race, isn't it? Let's be honest about it. Everything's, you know. Nobody's no time no more. We used to hear the stories when we were lads. I can't remember one of my dad and John's uncle, and he stopped with a fella along the road and he had a beggar's back 200 weight and he stood and he talked for an hour and then bounded on. You know the stories. The true stories. But, and years ago, you know, people had time to talk. People had time for conversation. But today, nobody's time for conversation. But there's one thing you'll notice. The phone. You watch a girl that's out walking or a fella out walking, they can't go out for a walk without the iPhone. And a lot more of the walking or what they're doing, the iPhone has to go. I'll tell you something. Sometimes the iPhone needs left aside, take a break from it. Phones are good, but they're also a decoy. I'm telling you. People are telling you if you're not to wear phones on certain parts of your body, it can give you cancer. This radiation comes off a phone. I know a man in England, he had desperate pains in his ear, he had desperate pains down the side of his head, and he came for prayer. And God showed that man that he was spending too much time with a phone in his ear. And he stopped doing that and he put it on the speaker, and all the pain left him, and God healed him. Radiation comes off it. They're good, but they're bad. I refer to a phone as a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the truth. Yeah. There's everything in it, good, but there's also equally the bad. Yes. It's the knowledge of good and evil. And it's before us. That's the age we're in. It's a real blessing if it's used right, but it's the biggest curse ever was used wrong. And you have to watch what you put in there, because anything can come up. Things you don't want to come up. And the devil's always cute, isn't it? That's how he works. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, there's a thing me and man of God put in us that we would worship him and talk to him and seek him as a friend. And the devil wants to take that place and fill it with other things. But God wants it. Look what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1. And I'm near finished. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham believed God, and God rewarded him. Here's the blessing about this, and I'm closing. And I won't read no more, I'll close in this thought. I love to preach the rest about Abraham, you know, because it's wonderful. Not only Abraham says to God, you know, I've no one, you know, will this Eliezer, you know, reign, will he take over? God said no. From your loins, Abraham, there's a promised seed. From your loins. Cease to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Noah was getting old, but God done it. But Abraham believed. There was an impossibility. As far as Abraham was concerned, as far as Sarah was concerned, but he met God. And God says to him, I am thy exceeding seed, your protector, and your great reward, your provider. And you remember I preached a sermon from that once. God answered according to the need. And Abraham's need was a son. You know what God said? I'll bless you, Abraham, and your children, and your children's children. Do you realize that the blessing, when you walk right before God, the blessing comes on your whole family? Do you know that? How many knows that? That's the Bible. That's a thing that can't be broke. I know the devil can show up and try to do things, but that'll make no difference. God can bless your grandchildren. Do you believe that? God can do it. We need to believe God tonight that He is our shield, our protector, and our great reward. And He wants us to come in faith to Him, believing, praying. And we need to be praying for our children and their children, that God will move upon them and save them young, and reach them young, and get them young, for the world wants them. It's terrible when people go into the world. It's really terrible, you know that. And you know, young people that go into somewhere where they shouldn't go, I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart to see it. But only God can change it. But God can change it, and He wants us to pray.
He is a rewarder of them. He that cometh to God must believe that He is.
Hebrews 11, verse 6, you remember this verse, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's come and bow our heads. When every head's bowed tonight, and you have a need, you know, last week I wasn't well all week. Monday morning I woke up, I had no voice, I wasn't well at all. But I just thank the Lord He touched me. God can touch you. You're in this service tonight and you would say, "Brother, I have a need." Lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you pray for me as well, that God will answer and meet every need. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your precious word of truth. Lord, You visited Abraham in a vision. And You told him, "I am thy exceeding shield and thy great reward." Lord, You came to him another time and You said, "Walk thou before me and be thou perfect." Then, Lord, in this end time, Your prophet said that You can't say that unless You make provision for it. But You did make a provision for to walk and be perfect. And He said that was through the blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we plead the merits of that precious blood upon every brother, on every sister that raised their hand tonight. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we seek Your face tonight and we call upon Your name. We pray that You will indeed answer prayer and meet that need. Meet the financial need. Meet the physical need. Meet the emotional need. Meet every need, I pray, in this room. And Lord, for those who are praying for upon our hearts, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, Lord, move upon every one of them. Speak to them. And may the Holy Spirit go to work upon them and bring them under great conviction and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. We plead the merits of the precious blood upon them. We claim them for the kingdom of God tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless Your word to our hearts tonight. Strengthen Your people. Stir up our hearts. And keep us in the word of God, I pray. Protect us from the wiles of the enemy. Keep us as the apple of Thy eye, in Jesus' precious name. Father, I pray in this next few weeks, as a brother Andrew prepares to come, that You'll bless him, that You'll prepare him and prepare us to hear Your word. Father, that You'll receive all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' precious name. Father, now part us with Thy blessing, that maketh rich and out of no sorrows, till Thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes. God bless you, brother.